Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Michelle. And then when we're done talking with Michelle, we'll talk with Michelle. We have Michelle Gray and Michelle Cooper, and they have the neatest business concept, I think. And I've really been sort of chomping at the bit to share this with our listeners, but they help students get organized. Welcome to the show, Michelle and Michelle.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the name of your business, and what are you guys out there doing for folks?
The name of our business is Student Organizers of Atlanta, and this is our, I guess, tax season for us with the back-to-school season upon us. We offer services across the board. We always kick off the school year with a hands-on student organizing workshop. We fill it with some fun activities and games to help teach time management and planner usage, backpack maintenance, all that kind of fun stuff. We teach an after-school program at a local private school that we started. This will be our second week with that. We do free parent education presentations entitled Organizing Students for Academic Success. We do, one-on-one. Oh my gosh, how can I forget that? Where we work one-on-one with the students and actually with the families as a whole and try to put into place very customized, personalized recommendations on the best use for them in terms of their homework routines. Not every child is going to do the same approach to doing homework. Some need silence, some need music, some need personal interaction with others, some need breaks, some are going to plow through, and you know, it's as well as with their planners. Some need color, some need it more black and white and simple. So we really take what we call the ingredients of their life, which is their backpack, their desk, their locker, their planners, their homework routines. All of those are the ingredients, and we customize them so that they speak personally to them and they can latch on to some really important life skills.
Doesn't that sound cool, Todd? Have you ever come across anything like that before?
I have never come across anything like that. The most exciting summer activity for me after a school year was going through that backpack and dumping it onto the table, and just the stuff, the Twinkie wrappers and that was an amazing. Right. But so you actually coach students how to manage their backpack or their.
Absolutely.
Yes. Why is that important?
Well, because some of them have the tendency to not even pay attention to their backpack, and they start putting things in like wrappers and rocks and strings and anything. I mean, depending if it's a girl or a boy, it could be anything. My son at one point collected rocks in his backpack, and my daughter will have anything from candy wrappers to the latest, you know, the silly bands and all that kind of thing. But typically the kids are either going to be on top of their backpack and they're going to keep it clean, clear of all that kind of stuff, or they're not. And the ones that are not are the ones that are going to need regular maintenance. In fact, we have to, when we work one-on-one with those children, we also have to instruct the parents that they're going to need to help them, to remind them every week to do this, to clear out their backpack. And typically, if their backpack is like that, their locker is also the same way. So we need to instruct them also that once a week they need to maybe bring some garbage bags in and empty out their locker and just bring their stuff home every week, because you know, it's really a personality trait if a person is like that. So it's not something that's going to change easily, but with proper training and building the habit, they are going to be able to change.
Well, I don't want to harp on the backpack thing, but only in the last few years have I disciplined myself to organize my briefcase better. And for a long time, it is a skill that probably is some merit to teaching at a younger age.
Well, right. That's what we recommend, is to make it an entire family activity. Take 15 minutes every Sunday, and while the kids are doing the backpacks, the dads are doing the briefcase, and mom is doing her purse, turn on some music, make it a game, pop some popcorn, whatever you need to.
Oh, I like it. That's cool.
You know, and so make it an activity, because these things are never taught officially anywhere, and either kids naturally have it in their makeup or they don't and they struggle. And Michelle and I say constantly, if half of our adult clients had somebody help them and teach them these things at a younger age, how much better off they would be in terms of juggling and meeting their goals, whatever success means to them, and you know, maybe taking on the mentality that Steve talked about earlier.
Are kids more unorganized today than they were a generation ago?
Definitely.
Why?
Definitely.
Okay, this is something that we talk about a lot. There have been so many cultural shifts that makes going to school today vastly different from what we experienced when we were growing up. For starters, just getting into college is much harder. It is not enough to have a good GPA or SAT score to get in. You have got to be very well-rounded, which then leads to more extracurricular activities because you do have to excel at sports and be the class president and play an instrument and be in the Boy Scouts and everything. So now, instead of coming home and riding your bike around the neighborhood like many of us did, your amount of solid studying and homework time is really, really segmented. And you've got to learn how to make use of 15 or even 20 minutes when you come home so that you can then go off to soccer practice, come home, and then make use of 30 minutes while mom makes dinner. Then you might have 30 minutes before something else happens. Then, so you've just got a fragmented schedule. Let's add technology to the mix. We didn't grow up with Wii's and cell phones and texting and internets and Facebooks, and we didn't have that. I mean, I'm going to sound very old in a minute, but, you know, we had a handful of TV stations and, you know, a few AM, FM radio stations, and that was it. And we have worked literally with kids who are as addicted to the social media as adults are to drugs and alcohol, and it's a very strong pull. And with the electronic mix, too, you have the issue where time is not on an analog clock where you can literally see it passing. It's a stagnant number displayed on a cell phone. Kids don't even wear watches anymore. They use their cell phones or they're looking at the computer, and it's a stagnant number. And so, you know, and then you mix into the fact that kids are taught material at an earlier age. What we learned in first grade, our kids are learning in kindergarten. What we learned in sixth, they're learning in third, or something along those lines. So when you've got kids learning time at an earlier age, and then it's never brought up again, it's just assumed that kids get it, they really don't. The concept is so lost on so many kids. And the last comment I'd like to make is just that they are taught how to tell time, but at no point are they taught how to manage time, and it is a different concept.
Another problem today is, and it's different from our generation, is that most children of divorced households are living in two different houses. Back in our day, usually the father came to visit once or twice a week, and that was it for a few hours a week. Now it's shared custody where the children basically live in two homes. So trying to organize your books and your papers and where are you going to be when you have to work on a certain project? And do I have enough of my supplies with me? Do I have my proper books with me at the right house? That's a very difficult thing. And also managing the routines in a similar way between households is also a challenge today that we're seeing for children. So that is something that is just a fact of our day to day, of society today, that makes it very tough for the kids.
Well, Lord knows when I was in school, I sure could have benefited from what you guys are teaching. But if Dad sat down with me and said, "Son, I'm going to bring in someone to help you kind of organize your life," I would have run away. How do you deal? I mean, I can't imagine that's not a common thing that you guys come across. How do you deal with that?
Well, we have had that many times. Typically, it's with the older teenage boys, and they just kind of grunt at us at first. It doesn't bother me at all because I've got a teenage son anyway, so I'm used to it. But what we do is we try to become friendly with them at first. We try to relate to them. We figure out what interests them in their lives. We get them to trust us. And, you know, basically, we've never had a problem turning them over and getting them interested in the first, I'd say, about 10, 15 minutes. Once we understand, or once we can communicate to them that we understand their situation and we can relate and that we have seen it all, they feel so much better. They feel all of a sudden that we're here to take care of them. And really, that's what it is. It's finally someone's coming to help them in a way that their parents cannot, because the parents are just kind of, you know, barking orders at them and they're kind of demanding things and it's very emotional. We're here to be their friends and their guidance directors.
So the
and to
third
help
party nature of it is actually helpful, because
absolutely.
If Dad tries to tell you to do it, you're going to resist. But if a trusted friend helps you, then you're more willing.
We're not lecturing them like mom and dad. We're not having those parental arguments and dealing with chores and all the other family issues that play in. And we've actually really made some nice relationships. And, you know, I just still giggle at the one boy who, when we were up helping him in his room with going through his backpack, working on some things, he's like, "Shh, can you tell a secret? I just got a tattoo and I haven't told my parents." And he showed it to us, and "You can't say anything to mom." And, you know, it was great.
Oh, that's funny. So other than bad grades, though, how does the parent know? Because I know my two, we have a great relationship, but they're not going to come to me, I don't think, and say, "I'm really struggling with this whole homework organizing thing." How do you know if your kid's struggling? What are the signs?
Well, first of all, the messy backpack is going to be a huge giveaway. Secondly, if they're staying up late at night and they're coming to you in a panic the night before a project's doing and saying, we have to run to Walmart, it's quarter to 12, they're about to close, I need poster board. That's a sign that they're not managing their time well and they're having a hard time with project planning.
Are you available Friday? Okay, I get it.
Let's see what else. If the teachers call you, certainly that's a problem. You know, the thing about today is that with the electronic communication, you know, most schools, even the private schools, I believe now, have the provide you the ability to look on the internet to see what grades your children have, all the way down to the detail of did they hand their homework in today in every class. So as a parent, you could oversee that to see when they're heading downhill quickly or not. However, we encourage most of our parents to let that management of grades be up to the children, because you know what? We were all parents. I mean, we were all students at one point. We don't need to go back to school ourselves. We don't need to be monitoring the grades. We need to leave that up to the children. And hopefully you have enough trust with your child that they're going to come to you when they do have problems with their grades. But other signs, that they're sitting around doing nothing when they should be doing homework because they're procrastinating or they're avoiding doing their homework because they don't know where to start. They just simply can't start. Or we also see sometimes a problem when a child sits down to do homework and they're not doing it. They're doing everything but their homework. So that is a challenge also. And that's kind of a signal that they're not, that they're in a disorganized type way.
And also just the general family dynamics with anxiety-ridden meltdowns and the, you know, homework time is just a nightmare around the house, just filled with stress and anxiety and tantrums and, again, not knowing where to start. And then mom is yelling, well, hurry up. You got to get on your soccer uniform. We got to get in the car. And, you know, you just have all that daily pressure going on that the quality of life has really been affected.
And one sign that we look for in a family dynamics perspective is that if the parents ever have to turn down social engagements or other type of volunteer engagements, meetings, whatever, because they say to the invitee or the inviter, they say, I can't, I've got to be home for my kids to do homework. That's a sign that says something's going on in that household that the kids are having a struggle with, that the kids cannot manage their homework on their own. So that's a sure sign that something's going on.
You know, one of the criticisms of our educational system today is that there's less about learning something valuable, but more about teaching conformity and making people sit in rows and walk in a straight line. You know, the worst thing it's done to a young child is taking away his crayons when he starts moving up. And does a more structured environment sap creativity? Is that anything you guys have come across? And how do you deal with that?
Well, you bring up a very interesting point. One of the things that we say when we begin our presentations to parents is we know the teachers all like the kids to have the same exact color notebook, whether it be a vinyl or a paper, two-pocket folder or a spiral or a three-ring. They all are very specific about everything when they want you to get the school supplies. And we say to them, you know what? If that doesn't work for your child, we will advocate on their behalf to allow the teacher, to have the teacher say, you know what, let's make it work for whatever works for your child. Every child is different. Some thrive in a structured environment. Some thrive with conformity. We work with the children to determine what their thinking style is. And we typically have four thinking styles we work with. One of those we call the penguin, and that is a black and white type structured individual who loves rules, loves to follow rules, and loves conformity. That person would be fine in that environment. The other three types that we have are a dog, who basically is a people person, who couldn't care less about conformity. They don't even like it. They want to color everything. They want to doodle on everything. They want to make it look anything but the same as everybody else's. And then there is what we call a horse. And a horse is someone who is going to want to do new systems all the time, no matter what the teacher says. They're going to want to change their systems of organization, whether it be a different kind of notebook or going from a three-ring to a spiral or going from all pockets to a three-ring notebook, whatever. They're going to want to always change because they're very distractible and they are very innovative. And then you have what we call the lion, who is the CEO type person who is going to stick with whatever the teacher says, but they're going to make it as simple and easy to use. So if the teacher says something like, you need to put every piece of paper we ever work on in the proper section at the end of class, that lion person will probably say, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to stick it in a folder and I'll deal with it later when I have time, when I am good and ready to do it. So they're going to decide on their own methods. They're going to do it, but they're going to do it at their own pace in their own way. So it's very interesting. So we deal with four types of students all the time. And like I said, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but we always, always work as a team with the teachers, therapists, parents, the students, with us, any other professional individuals involved, and we will advocate on behalf of the student to help to have the teachers help that student accommodate their individual needs.
I have a lion and penguin at home, and I'm a horse. That was actually very helpful. Speaking of which, I get the idea that surely this can be applied to some of us in the adult world that might be struggling a little
Stone.
Bit.
No doubt about it. And that's what we say in our presentation as well, is yes, our focus is on students, but you will walk out of here knowing a whole lot more about yourself, your spouse, your in-laws, your best friend, you know, and the different personality traits, and it takes all four to run this world. And
well, I like that, because then I can say, okay, kid, you're screwed up, so we're going to fix you, but while you're here, I'm really going to get the benefit.
There you have it, exactly.
Maybe I should work on the messaging a little bit. But
well, maybe a little. That's for another day, right?
So how can our listeners get in touch with you guys, learn more about your services, that kind of thing?
Our website is www.thestudentorganizers.com, and they can reach us and email us and call us through there.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you guys on. I've learned a lot about organizing. I think I have a long way to go. But, I mean, I'm easily distracted by shiny things. I'm definitely the mm-hmm. horse, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Well, what about you, Hotshot? Where do you fall?
I'm perfect.
You're the penguin.
Well, no, I mean, as you know, I've been focusing on doing a lot of research and study on minimalism. So
right,
I have been
right.
doing a dramatic...
He's trying to be a penguin. He wants to be a penguin.
I had the cluttered backpack and briefcase. I had stacks of papers and file cabinets of stuff I hadn't looked at in 10 years. So I've been going through a real methodical means of just removing all that clutter and trying to simplify mm-hmm. to an extent. But I got a long ways to go. I suspect it's a lifelong battle.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not necessarily a light at the end of the tunnel. You just keep on adding to it one layer at a time. And just each year, especially with the kids, just try and raise the ante a little bit more, get them to be a little bit more independent each year. And then, yes, learn from your kids. They learn from mm-hmm. us. And we are strong believers that as parents, we are role models for our kids, but I think that we can learn from them equally as much.
But there's help available, and it's not one size fits all. I mean, we really need some professional level right. of support, and not dad breathing down their neck nagging at them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard us do this in our first segment this morning, and we'd love for you guys to do it as well, if you don't mind. And really, we'd like for each of you to do it if you don't mind. But what we like to do here on the show is ask each guest to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and what they feel like they learned from it. And maybe Michelle Cooper, we could have you go first. Would you do that for us?
I'd be happy to. It's going to be more of my residential and business organizing versus the students. But I think it's definitely the mentality that, well, I've been organized my whole life and I'm just going to instill on my clients what works for me. And the beginning, and just doing some general organizing jobs, thinking that, well, you know, this is how I do my planner, and if it were time management, or this is how my closet's organized, and really not recognizing the uniqueness to each person, and especially when I'm just such a linear thinker, and when I came across the real artistic creative types whose brains absolutely are not wired like mine. They are not going to grasp onto my concepts at all. It means nothing to them. And realizing that I needed to come about it from a much more different way. I use entirely different techniques with them now. And my recommendations for them are not going to be what I make for other people. And really educating myself on varying organizing tools and systems and products that speak more directly to whoever the client is.
Marvelous. And how about you, Michelle?
Well, I would like to echo what Michelle just said as well. I've experienced the same thing with many of my clients in the residential and business area. The mistake I would like to share is on a personal nature as it applies to student organizing. And I explain this situation in the presentations all the time. Before we began our research many, many years ago, Michelle and I, on student organizing, my daughter would fight me every night when I would say to her, please go upstairs to your room and do your homework. And she would say, no, I don't want to. And I said, please just go upstairs to your homework. Now, of course, this is the time of day when everyone's going a little crazy. It's getting close to dinner time and everything's happening, what we call the witching hour. And so I would say to her, please go up to your room. And she would say, no, can you please come with me? And I'm like, no, I am busy. I am making dinner. Why can't you go up to your room? Your brother is up in your room and in his room doing his homework. He does this every day. Why can't you go up to your room? So finally she would give in. She would go up to her room. And then an hour later, I would go up and visit her, and she would not be doing her homework. She would be pasting pictures on the walls, or she would be collecting ribbons, or she would be coloring different color papers or whatever. She would be doing anything but homework. So after our research, I realized that she is what we call a dog. She's a people person, and sending her to her room is like solitary confinement. It is torture for her. She does not like to be alone because the dog people like to be around people. If they can't be around people, they like to surround themselves in things, collections of things. That's where the pictures and the coloring and all that kind of thing comes from. So after the research, I discovered that being a dog, she needs to be around people. So I set up a table in our den, which is right next to our kitchen. And that is where she does the homework. I do not help her with the homework. I don't check on her. She just is fine there because she can hear me. She knows what's going on. She's around people, and it makes her much more productive. So that is a lesson that I learned, and I share that with all of our audience members in every presentation, and it always strikes a chord for everybody because typically most parents have fought with that exact same thing.
That is really some strong insight. Never really occurred to me, but had I ever done any homework, I think I might really appreciate that level of idiosyncratic management. I mean, you hear some of that same kind of theme in the leadership literature. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of overriding themes in what we do. You know, interestingly, Steve, with your book, there's a book out there by Peter Walsh called "Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat?" And it talks about the link between when some of his organizing clients decluttered, they were able to lose weight. They had a more organized kitchen, a more organized pantry. They mentally embraced new habits, and as a result, they were able to make other life changes. So I think that we see, you know, with our kids, once they get the homework and the time management down and they're feeling more confident in themselves, then they do excel more in their sports or in their activities. It's just a whole different mindset, and it's great to watch.